भगवते वासुदेवाय।
From Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 19, text number 36.
अन्यथा ते व्यक्तगते दर्शनम् न कथम् ऋणाम् नितराम् म्रियमाणानाम् संसिद्धस्य वनीयसः अन्यता ते व्यक्तगते दर्शनम् न कथम् ऋणाम् नितराम् म्रियमाणानाम् संसिद्धस्य वनीयसः अन्यथा ते व्यक्तगते दर्शनम् न कथम् ऋणाम् नितराम् म्रियमाणानाम् संसिद्धस्य वनीयसः। अन्यथा अदरवाइज ते युअर अव्यक्तगतेः of one whose movements are invisible. Darshanam, meeting. Naha, for us. Katham, how. Nranam, of the people. Nitaram, specifically. Mriyamananam, of those who are about to die. Samsiddhasya, of one who is all perfect. Vaniyasaha, voluntary appearance. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Otherwise, without being inspired by Lord Krishna, how is it that you have voluntarily appeared here, though you are moving incognito to the common man and are not visible to us, who are on the verge of death? Purport. The great sage Sukadeva Goswami was certainly inspired by Lord Krishna to appear voluntarily before Maharaja Parikshit, the great devotee of the Lord, just to give him the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. One can achieve the nucleus of the devotional service of the Lord by the mercy of the spiritual master and the personality of Godhead. The spiritual master is the manifested representative of the Lord to help one achieve ultimate success. One who is not authorized by the Lord cannot become a spiritual master. Sri Sukadeva Goswami is an authorized spiritual master, and thus he was inspired by the Lord to appear before Maharaj Parikshit and instruct him in the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. One can achieve the ultimate success of going back to Godhead if he is favored by the Lord's sending his true representative. As soon as a true representative of the Lord is met by a devotee of the Lord, the devotee is assured a guarantee for going back to Godhead just after leaving the present body. This, however, depends on the sincerity of the devotee himself. The Lord is seated in the heart of all living beings, and thus he knows very well the movements of all individual persons. As soon as the Lord finds that a particular soul is very eager to go back to Godhead, the Lord at once sends his bona fide representative. The sincere devotee is thus assured by the Lord of going back to Godhead. The conclusion is that to get the assistance and help of a bona fide spiritual master means to receive the direct help of the Lord himself. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. हरे कृष्ण. वि आर् रीडिङ्ग् फ्रोम् द चाप्टर् द अपियरेन्स् आफ् शुकदेव गोस्वामी. And in this particular verse, Parikshit Maharaj is welcoming Shukadev Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami, by saying that without being inspired by Lord Krishna, how is it that you have voluntarily appeared here, though you are moving incognito to the common man and are not visible to us who are on the verge of death? So the meaning of the word "you are not visible to us" means the greatness of a soul is often not understood by the common people. The greatness of a great soul, just like when Shukadev Maharaj Goswami was passing, there were many women and children who were throwing stones at him, and some of them were following also behind, because he was practically like an avaduta. There was no dress on his body, and he was completely absorbed in the remembrance of the Lord. So naturally, people thought of him as a fool, and so they were throwing stones at him. But Shukadev Goswami did not care for anyone. He just proceeded ahead. And then, when he arrived here at the banks of the Ganges, as soon as he arrived there, all the thousands and thousands of sages, they all stood up and they all fell at his feet. And then when the children and women, they all saw that, then they understood who this Shukadev Goswami was. In fact, even Narada was present there, Vedavyas was present there. So his father is his guru, Vedavyas, and his guru is Narada. Even they are sitting and hearing when Shukadev Goswami is speaking. So, that is why he says, one, that you are not visible to us. Because often those who are materially puffed up because of wealth or scholarship or bodily beauty or high birth, they generally consider the Vaishnavas often to be insignificant. So, which means that the Vaishnavas are invisible to them. They cannot see. They cannot properly understand. And often, because of one's material status in terms of wealth and beauty and education, one always estimates others from that point of view. If a Vaishnava has any one of those qualifications, then he is great, otherwise not. People see from that point of view, which is like a material, spectacles. They wear a certain spectacles and they assess a Vaishnava based on that. So that is why the verse says, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigneha Bhujaya. It is said, why? Because the Vaishnava should not be put under a microscope and tested based on whether he has a high birth, whether he is a scholar, whether he has bodily beauty. Those things should not be seen. So a Vaishnava is understood by hearing from him. The quality of a Vaishnava has to be estimated by hearing the sound vibration coming from his mouth, his realization, his conviction. That is why the meaning of the word preaching means how much faith can you generate in other people's hearts. That is what is preaching. How much faith you can generate in people's hearts towards Krishna, towards spiritual world, towards the path of Vaishnava lifestyle, towards the holy name. So, to the degree a Vaishnava is able to spread this influence in the hearts of others, to that degree he is called as a Vaishnava. And it is not that how many people he attracts for a program. For example, there are so many big Bhagavatam speakers, like in Pune we had Ramesh Bhai Oja or Rasharam Babu. They come, They attract sometimes 5 lakh people. Sometimes 5 lakh people, 10 lakh people. Certainly, they attract a mass, a very great mass. But how many of them develop a firm faith at the lotus feet of Krishna in holy name? And after developing that faith, how many people are committed to that process of chanting the holy name and taking Krishna consciousness as a lifelong mission? That is what is preaching. So, we find Sukadeva Goswami is also speaking to very great sages and very exalted personalities in the assembly. So, Parikshit is telling him that you are not visible to us because we people are on the verge of death. So, I am on the verge of death and I cannot understand you. Just like you find Chitragita Maharaj, although he was a very great king, when these two greatest sages came to his palace, Angira and Narada. So, you find the behavior of Chitragita Maharaj. He gave them elevated asana to sit, and he sat down, completely cringed to his seat with kneeling down and with palms folded together in great respect and bowing down his head. So he was speaking a very famous verse. Tasmat yuvam gramya pashor mama muda diya prabhu ande tamasi magnasya jnana deepaudiryatam. He's telling them, Tasmat yuvam gramya pashor. He's saying, both of you personalities, bodhai yonmatta lingina, he's saying, you look like an abaduta. Externally, your dress that you wear, and the material commodities or the facilities that you have, which is so limited, you look like a beggar externally. So anybody who looks at you will think that you are a have-not, you are a poverty-stricken man. But I know very well that you are carrying the Lord within your heart. You have the greatest wealth with you, he is saying. But who am I? I am the king of the whole world, but I am like a gramya pashu, he said. I am like a village animal. A village animal is unclean, unskimmed, and he wanders here and there. And the gramya pushu has another meaning, which means I am always materialistic. Gramya buddhi means gramya vata na kahibe, gramya vata na shunibe, isn't it? So gramya also means materialistic. So I am a materialistic man, he said, gramya pushu. Dull headed, he said, about himself. Tasmati vam gramya pushu, mama mudadiya prabhu. Mudadiya means. Diya means intelligence. Muda diya means I have bewildered intelligence, no good intelligence. And I am blind, he said. Ande. Tamasi means I am blind also and I am submerged in dark well also. That is also dark. Which means I am blind means I am spiritually blind and I am living in the material world, which is a dark well. So, and then he said, Jnana Deepa Udiryatam. Please light up the torchlight of knowledge. You see, in the Bhagavatam we find that unless one approaches, as Prabhupada says here, one can achieve the ultimate success of going back to Godhead if he is favored by the Lord's sending his true representative. As a true representative of the Lord is met by a devotee of the Lord, the devotee is assured, a guarantee for going back to Godhead. But although it looks very simple, how to approach the true representative of the Lord is explained within the pages of Bhagavatam itself. So two things are necessary when one approaches a great soul: respect and attention in hearing. Now, attention means, for example, you are sitting here and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes in Bombay, when one devotee was speaking, he was telling that if you are hearing the same Bhagavatam class from your office in a speaker while, you know, downloading your emails, do you think it's the same? No. Because our attention becomes divided. So our attention, partly it is in the email. Some people say that, yes, I am taking care of both. Sometimes people think, you know, I can do many things at a time. But that kind of hearing Bhagavatam is useless. Because the very fact that we are downloading mails shows that I am not serious about hearing the message. So that is not attention. No proper attention at all. Similarly, respect. So Radha Gopinath was once sharing. He had a back pain problem. So he had to sit in a chair. So behind the class, he would be sitting in a chair and here in the class. He said, I saw a great difference when I would be sitting in the front down and hearing the speaker. That makes much more difference than sitting in a chair and hearing. Because when I'm sitting in the chair, I'm thinking that, you know, I can... And he said, after the class was over, I wanted to give some suggestions to the speaker. And I'm sitting in the class in a chair. When I'm sitting down and hearing, then my whole mood changes completely. So, the respect is very much stressed within the pages of Bhagavatam. The respect and attention when one is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. You see, in the age of Kali Yuga, it is said that many people, they will have the varna but not the guna. They will not exhibit the guna or the qualities. They may exhibit sadachar but not the shilata. What is the difference between the two? Just now I was talking about the external behavior of offering attention by being present in the class, and while being present in the class, you know, sitting and hearing in a mood of respect also. But at the same time, the scriptures say in the age of Kali Yuga, for example, Brahmanas, they will be able to memorize shlokas. They will be able to quote extensively. They will be able to become scholarly. And they may even speak big knowledge. But they will not have the qualities of a Brahmana. For example, austerity, mercifulness. This kind of qualities, like Kshama, Dhamma, Tapas, Shaucham, Kshantir, you will not find that. Because those are qualities. How is it that somebody is externally exhibiting some behavior but internally not showing the qualities? That is the age of Kali Yuga. Like for example, Vaishyas. They will do the work of a Vaishya. It's very natural for them to do business and make money. They will do that. But they will not exhibit the quality of a Vaishya. What is the quality of Vaishya? To give charity. That they will not do. But they will do business. They will do the karma of a Vaishya. So, people exhibit karma but not guna in Kali Yuga. That makes it very difficult for us to understand who is who. Because we go by the externals. If somebody may look like a Brahmana, actually he may not be a Brahmana. Because a Brahmana is supposed to have the Shila or the internal qualities. Not just Sadachar. Even if externally one may show the behavior of a Brahmana, but whether he has developed those internal qualities has to be verified, as we checked. So in the place of Bhagavatam, you find a lot of stress given about how should one approach a Vaishnava or a devotee if one wants to learn and benefit. Because by external behavior, sometimes it's difficult to understand the motivations or motives. In the beginning, it is said Vaishnava etiquettes are very important. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament of a Vaishnava. One should express the Vaishnava etiquettes. But after exhibiting the external Vaishnava etiquettes, one should work on verifying what are my intentions and feelings and motivations in doing any activity at all in the life of a Vaishnava. For example, somebody comes to your house in the evening hours. You actually had planned to do something, but somebody suddenly landed in your house. Unexpected, uninvited guest. Somebody lands there. Then how would you receive them? You open the door and say, oh, welcome, welcome. Please come in. I am so happy to receive you. And then secretly think, oh, why did this fellow come here? At this time, that too uninformed. I was peacefully doing some work. And would you like to have juice or something? Anyway, whether I ask or not, you will anyway drink it. He's not going to say no to it. I will be forced to prepare a juice now. Oh, I am so fortunate to be in your company. This will have come to waste my time. So, externally we say something, but internally we feel something else. Which is called duplicity. Duplicitous behavior. So, we have to transcend this duplicitous behavior also over a period of time. That doesn't mean we should not externally behave kindly. I am going to be straightforward. Whatever is going inside, I will tell you outside. So then nobody will come to your house then. So we have to externally first behave and struggle to cultivate the internal qualities also. So when we are dealing with a Vaishnava, sometimes people think they don't know that there is Lord above watching our behavior. Like when Bhagavatam class is going on, I have seen devotees who keep a small shloka book and keep memorizing some shlokas during the Bhagavatam class. What they think, anyway, you know, they feel that most of the Bhagavatam speakers are below their level. And they feel that they are not offering anything very tangible or interesting enough for me. So I will do some other constructive work, constructive according to them. And then they may be memorizing some verses. Or sometimes they keep some other notes. And they keep, you know, watching it. In fact, in some places I have seen, people put a earphone and hearing another class and put a, what do you call it? Chadar above the head and sitting in a class. You think they are sitting in Bhagavatam class. Yeah. So they are physically giving attendance, but they are elsewhere. And they think that, you know, who is going to know? But who will know? Shinvatam Sukata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanat Hridanta Sohya Badrani Vidnoti Surit Satam. It is said, Lord is sitting in our heart. And He is the one who is, while we are hearing the class, He is also hearing. And then He is the one who cleanses our heart. Not we. We have no ability to clean our hearts. So He will clean depending on what is our attitude in attending the class. So how do we approach the Bhagavatam? Surely Lord will be checking that. What's our mood? So if somebody is sitting in the class and thinking, oh, this fellow is boring. This fellow is wasting my time and looking at the watch. And one leg outside, one leg inside. Some people even do some accounting work, or some people, you know, make some to-do list for the day, you know, and all that they keep doing. They think, you know, somehow they have to kill the time, the Bhagavatam class. So hearing class with such attitude will not help at all. How Bhagavatam should be heard? When one sentence is spoken, immediately in one's mind, 2, 3, 4 other examples should come. Then you hear another concept, you hear. Yeah, it is true. I have heard elsewhere also. One should be able to understand what this fellow is saying and how can I relate it in my everyday life experience. And how it is true. Yes, I have heard from this source, that source. So, certainly, the audience's mind is also active. And the audience will be able to hear Bhagavatam very attentively and with respect. And absorb oneself in Krishna consciousness when they have a respect for the speaker. I will just read out some verses from the first canto. The Shaunakada Rishis are speaking to Suta Goswami. Respected Suta Goswami, you are completely freed from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures, famous for religious life. Famous for religious life and in the Puranas and the histories as well. For you have gone through them and their proper guidance and have also explained them. Here they are saying, the sages are saying that you are well versed in all the scriptures like Puranas, Mahabharat, Itihasas, Vedas and all those things. And most importantly they are saying you have gone through them under proper guidance. So, in Vaishnava line, we glorify someone because one is properly connected. Like, recently when I was traveling, I had a question. There are some very, very famous speakers and brilliant devotees in ISKCON. And when I went to the temples, like I was in London, they had arranged a TV show for me in Tamil and a radio show in the afternoon, interview and all that. And they had taken me to a Hindu temple where about 150 people attended a lecture. So later on in my travel, I met one very senior devotee who is also a very good speaker. Very, very powerful speaker and everything. In fact, he is much, much more senior to me. And he is a very famous speaker in ISKCON in those days. So I asked him, why, you know, in that London temple there is so much demand for giving lectures, why don't you and give lectures. And they want to arrange programs and all. So he said, I was there 10 days, but they didn't give me opportunity. He said, I was staying there. And really? Then when on my way back, I went to London, I asked them, why you didn't give opportunity to this devotee? I know him personally very well. Hmm? And he's a very, very senior man. And I even told him, and he agreed to give also. Why didn't you arrange? So immediately they said, he's a Ritvik, they said. So we don't want to give. We have come to know that he is a Ritvik. So that one blemish, that a person speaks Ritvik philosophy, and he wants to, get cut off from his spiritual master and consider himself to be independent, disciple of Prabhupada directly. That one blemish has removed him all the opportunities for delivering lectures, just see. Because he offends his spiritual master. He has rejected his spiritual master. Although he is very qualified, but he is good for no purpose, good for nothing. It's like, what is that verse? Manina bhushita sarpa kimmasav bhayankaraha, it is said. Sometimes a snake has got a Kohinoor diamond on the head. The diamond is very attractive, but the only problem is, if you spread your hand to pick up the diamond, what will happen? Tongue, you'll get stung. So, if somebody who is not obedient to his guru, who is against the previous acharyas, or one who thinks I am more intelligent than the previous acharyas, then such a person is compared to the snake with a Kohinoor diamond in the head. It's like that. So we should never glorify a devotee independent of his spiritual master or the previous acharyas. We should always glorify them in relation to the previous acharyas. We should glorify them for being a true representative of their guru and the previous acharyas. That's the ideal way of glorification. Not that, you know, for example, nobody will glorify a woman without her connection to her husband and the lineage in which she is coming. Because her glory is that she is born in a good family. So, here also you find the Suta Goswami is glorified by the sages, Shaunakada Rishis, that you have gone through them under proper guidance. Not that you used your own fertile brain to concoct something of your own and you are more smarter than the previous acharyas. You are not glorified for that. Actually, if you see the karmi circles, material circles, they glorify people that you have done something which nobody did, your previous people didn't do. I mean, they didn't have the talent, you had the talent. That is the way they glorify. So, and Prabhupada wrote the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Some Mayavadis in one of the arguments asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, how do you say your Bhagavad Gita is superior than others? And then Prabhupada said, how I have presented the truth as it is. And then Prabhupada said, I have referred to all the previous acharyas and everything. And they asked him, what is your contribution? They asked, you are claiming yourself to be founder acharya of ISKCON. What is your contribution? And then Prabhupada said, my contribution is that I didn't make any pakshapat in giving this knowledge. I gave it to the mlechas, I gave it to chandalas, I gave it to the foreigners, Indians, without making any discrimination. That is my qualification, Prabhupada said. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, my only qualification is I have repeated the words of the previous acharyas, he said. And then further, they are saying, being the eldest learned Vedantist, O Suta Goswami, you are acquainted with the knowledge of Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of Godhead. And you also know other sages who are fully versed in all kinds of physical and metaphysical knowledge. And here Prabhupada says that there are six systems of philosophy, like Gautama, Kanada, Kapila, Patanjali, Jaimini, and Ashtavakra, and all of them. So these people have presented lot of discussions about soul, body, and all that, but they don't talk about God very clearly. They are all atheistic philosophies, six systems of philosophy. So there is Vidya and there is Avidya. Like for example, the Vedavyas is giving pure knowledge and these people are giving concocted knowledge. And in this, Prabhupada says, one should know both. vidyam cha vidyam chestadvedo bhayam sarvesa. So Prabhupada would often talk about the Western theology undefeated. Like, you know, so many philosophies, like, you know, either God doesn't exist or God could not control the universe, and such kind of bogus philosophies. So one should be aware of that also, which means one should not only be aware of the pure Vedic knowledge, one should know the relevance of the pure Vedic knowledge even in the contemporary times. Even because the modern day people may post a lot of wrong philosophies about life. Like, for example, when I was traveling in the West, we came across a book. We were discussing about the modern society and postmodern society. So what is modern society? Modern society people, they are logical thinkers. They want to do away with traditions. They say, don't tell us to do puja. Don't tell us to bow down. Don't tell us to go to temples. Don't tell us to follow our grandfathers and great-grandfathers. We don't want to follow. We are modern people. What do we want to do? We will think for ourselves. We will challenge you with questions. Answer logically for whatever we ask. If you can present anything scientifically, then we will accept it. Otherwise not. This is modern people. And whatever you will tell us, we will compare it with science. What science says, what religion says. If your religion is accepting with science, then we will accept your religion. And yes, we like morality as long as you can give reason for why we should be so moral. So the modern day situation is based on challenging and arguing and reason, logic and all those things. Postmodern means, which is ahead of modern, which is coming in the West, what they say, whatever feels good, do it. No problem. Who cares whether something is morality or something is religious or not? Postmodern people also, they like to live close to nature. You know, live close to greenery, live to forest. They are nature worshippers, not God worshippers. God is the source of, controller of nature. But they are nature worshippers. So they like to go for outing, go to greenery, go for picnics, to forest. And whatever feels good, you can do. You can have anybody as a partner. And if spiritual music is helping you to relieve your stress, you can hear it. No problem. Whatever helps you to enjoy life, you do it. That is their culture, the postmodern culture. So the postmodern is, according to the thinkers of the modern times, the postmodern is a very dangerous culture. Why? Because one of the leaders of the lesbian, gays, one lady, she gave a declaration. She said, I thought for myself in my life, why should I marry only a man? Why can't I, you know, enjoy with another woman? She's already a woman. And she's telling, why should I marry a man? I thought I'll marry a woman for a change. Because we have to think for ourselves. This is the postmodern culture. So a lot of such kinds of bogus things are going to be spreaded in the modern times. And Acharya should not be up in the clouds, not able to argue with this kind of bogus philosophies. Like, there is one very great Sri Vaishnava Acharya who is speaking powerful lectures on Ramayana and Mahabharata and Bhagavatam and everything. So in ISKCON he is becoming famous also in South India. People are hearing his lectures because he speaks purely Vaishnava Siddhanta, Sri Vaishnava. But one of the devotees in ISKCON told me that whenever it comes to Mayavad or anything like that, he is wishy-washy. He says that, you know, no, Shankara is seeing from another point of view, we are seeing from this point of view, they are also good. He doesn't want to straight away, clear-cut tell what are the mistakes of impersonal philosophy in the name of, you know, not offending other people. So Prabhupada was not like that. Prabhupada was never wishy-washy, he was very straightforward. Similarly, you go to South India, people tell you, Prabhuji, you can give any lecture except lecture on demigods. Don't bring any topic on demigods, because, you know, we don't want to tell people that Krishna is supreme. If you tell them, they will not offer donation to temple. We cannot run our activities. And I told them, how long are you going to keep people in darkness? You know, people are coming to temple. Someday you have to tell them the truth. You know, no, we are afraid. So all the people visiting temple are thinking that all gods are equal and these guys are collecting donation from them and keeping quiet. So Vaishnava cannot be like that. So Vaishnava has to clearly put the truth on the table. This is the truth. How long are we going to tell people what they want to hear? See, this is a great challenge for a preacher. Are we going to speak what people will like to hear? Or are we going to speak what people need to hear? See, what people need to hear is medicine for them. It will cure their disease. Or what they want to hear will pamper them and kill them. Because they will never come out of the disease for a period of time. They will remain where they are. So, we have to give people what they need to hear, but we can try to package it as sweetly as possible. But we have to give them what they need to hear. And that is why he says here that Vaishnava should know all the different philosophies, the bogus philosophies also, so that you can, while speaking in your lectures, you can very openly say, Prabhupada used to say, anyone who calls himself as God is dog. In West, Prabhupada used to say that. Some people would be shaken up when they would hear, hey, how did this Swami know that I am thinking I am God? So, that is why he is saying, one should know the other philosophies and defeat them with the sword of knowledge of the Vaishnava philosophy. So, the Shaunakadri Rishis glorified Sudha Goswami secondly for that. First, they glorified him for his connection to the parampara. Then, they glorified him for his ability to defeat the bogus theories and establish the true theory. Then they are glorifying Vetatvam Saumya Tatsarvam Tatvatastat Anugraha Bruya Snigdasya Shishyasya Guravo Guhyamapyuta. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. And Prabhupada writes in the purport here, the secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. It is essential, therefore, that the disciple be very much obedient and submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. Srila Sudha Goswami fulfilled all these qualifications as a disciple and therefore he was endowed with all favors by his learned and self-realized spiritual masters such as Srila Vyasadeva and others. The sages of Naimisharanya were confident that Srila Sudha Goswami was bona fide. Therefore they were anxious to hear from him. So this is the standard for anyone who is delivering the message to others. Bruyaha snigdasya shishyasya, he says, because you are submissive, then guravo guhyam appita. He decided the great secrets of Vaishnava philosophy will only be revealed to one who is adopting this submissive attitude. It is not something like we study our academic books, like you cram some theorems or theories, and then you go to exam and you vomit it. In Vaishnava philosophy, we cannot do that, like that. Or if somebody is doing that, how long can he do that, like that? You can ask the question. Somebody may, cram some realizations of some great soul, make some notes, and cram them and hold them in the mind and then go and repeat it, like a parrot. So, how can we know whether one is speaking from the heart, his deep realizations that arise in his heart, or somebody is just copying the realizations of great souls and just imitating and repeating it. So time will tell. Over a period of time, Prabhupada says that one who is realized will be like a man who has just now eaten a full meal. You give him something to eat, he says, no thanks. He will not want anything. Similarly, when the material pleasures are offered to a Vaishnava, when a Vaishnava says, no thanks, and Maya Devi is offering so many things, no thanks, and moksha is coming and standing at the doorstep and asking, sir, would you like to have liberation? No thanks. This is everyone. Then what do you want? I am completely satisfied. We can see whether one is completely satisfied and does not become delighted in material enjoyment. That is a proof. Whether one is satisfied simply with Krishna only. Simply satisfied in remembering Krishna, sharing Krishna with others. Deeply satisfied. So, and also, as he is saying here, one's attitude will show up. As Prabhupada explains about the disciple must be very much obedient and submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. So when a disciple is bona fide, then others will get confidence to hear from him because of his bona fideness. Otherwise, if somebody becomes an upstart and proclaims oneself to be independent of the guru and the acharyas, and oneself to be very qualified, just like how Vallabhacharya was condemned by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita here. So, even though one may be very highly advanced and scholarly, there is no appreciation attached to that at all. Please, therefore, being blessed with many ears, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for people in general. Here we find the Shaunakadi Rishis are very learned people. Although they are very learned, they are eager to hear what Suta Goswami has got to say for the welfare of people in general. What does this show? When such learned persons are eager to hear from the mouth of Suta Goswami, we can understand that Suta Goswami is even more advanced to offer, and they were confident that he would be able to offer something for the welfare of the people, of the world, because they knew this fellow has nothing selfish, no selfish motives. See, when one is a preacher, there could be a selfish motive of earning some name and fame. There could be a selfish motive of impressing the audience. There could be a selfish motive of making people think that I am very advanced in one speech. Or I should tell them something which no one has heard and pose oneself as very advanced. Here they could understand Suta Goswami actually is simply acting as a true representative of his spiritual master. And his mind is contemplating on the welfare of the people. And they were very convinced about that. So they are very eagerly asking, in a mood to learn. And this sets a premise for all of us, that unless one is very eagerly inquisitive to hear about the truth, there is no possibility of any progress. How should Bhagavatam be heard? That comes in another section. If you see Vidura, he very eagerly inquired from Maitreya and asked many, many questions. And then Maitreya answered all of them. He very attentively heard them with respect and attention and all that. And then after he heard the truth, he assimilated it, and his mind became fixed in transcendental loving service to Sri Krishna. And he became completely satisfied after that. Then there were no more questions. And what did he do after that? Simply he engaged in devotion service. And all of us should do the same thing. As long as we are not convinced that material pleasures cannot give us happiness, and as long as we are not convinced that Krishna is the only way, taking shelter of Krishna is the only goal of life, then you have to keep on asking questions. Question after question after question, keep asking. And then at a certain point of time, the fixity of the mind will come. When mind becomes, intelligence becomes completely convinced, yes, this is the truth, this is it, I have to do this. Then blissfully engage in devotion service. Without any question after that. No more questions. One is now convinced. And then one should engage in devotion service and develop more conviction, more faith. And then one should preach. What is preaching? Awakening faith in the hearts of people. That is preaching. Like, you know, one boy was going for giving a seminar. So, very skeptical fellow. So, somehow or other, he became a devotee. 16 rounds he was chanting. And then he was telling about science of soul. You know, he had to give a lecture on some science of soul. He had some doubts about, you know, difference between a robo and a, you know, living body and all that. Then I asked him, you know, I asked him, who are you? Are you a chemical bundle or are you a soul? You know, He said, Prabhuji, I'm not very sure. He said, really? Then how can you preach to others? If you don't know who you are, then how can you preach? Maybe we haven't come to the point of realizing, like, you know, if you see a supari and it becomes dry, kada 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 sound comes, you know, it goes, it withdraws inside. So we might be able to clearly see ourselves to be the soul sitting inside a body, and we are a driver of this body. We cannot see that, but at least we should be intellectually convinced that there is a soul in a living body, and that's what is activating the body. Otherwise the body is always dead. If you are not convinced, then how can you preach it to others? So that is why preaching means awakening faith in the hearts of others. Suppose we should have faith to give faith to others. Otherwise you can't give faith to anyone. So as we find here in the series of verses, we understand the qualification of the speaker of Bhagavatam, what we heard. He should be guided by the previous acharyas, which means he should be coming in parampara, and he should know the right philosophy and the wrong philosophies so that he can establish the right philosophy. And he is not one who speaks what people want to hear, but he speaks the truth, presents the truth. And also he should be very obedient and submissive to his spiritual master. And by such obedience, he conquers the heart of the spiritual master, and he achieves the blessings of the spiritual master. When spiritual master's blessings comes on the disciple, then the disciple starts speaking a language which a common man cannot speak. Not possible. And how the disciple gets that ability? Just like in Bible, if you read Bible, there are three things in Bible: Father, Son and Holy Spirit, they say. Father is God, Son is Jesus, and Holy Spirit is Krishna consciousness, as we call it. So in one place, when all these fathers, and they all went to a particular place to preach, to another country. So they all closed their eyes and they were offering very fervent prayers to the Lord. And suddenly the Holy Spirit descends on them, and they start speaking that language. Suddenly. And they never learned even ABCD in that language. They start speaking that language. And then they all go in nook and corner and preach and make many, many followers, many, many devotees. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit descends on them and empowers them. So this principle is there even in Christianity also. Similarly, when the three families were sent to London, they were not scholars. They were not very learned people. They were not quoting big, big shlokas. But the empowerment descended on them. When Prabhupada's empowerment came on them, they became empowered to do miraculous things in life. So in this way, it is said here that the speaker of Bhagavatam should actually be blessed by the previous acharyas and spiritual master by dint of his obedience and submissiveness. In that context, I was speaking about how the internal qualities are very important, both for the speaker and the hearer. And the hearers should have a certain type of mood in receiving the speaker of Bhagavatam. Otherwise, they will not benefit. Because if somebody is in an evaluating mode about the speaker, always that evaluating mode will not, judgmental mode or evaluating mode will not allow us to hear the message, the pure sublime message. So sometimes we do some public speaking test for boys. One of the reasons I don't empower the very young devotees to do that is because they will become evaluationists always. They will become judgmental about everyone. They will become evaluators all the time if they don't have maturity. Then they will put a spectacles. Whenever they hear anybody's lecture, even if some big Maharaja is giving lecture, they'll be evaluating how he speaks lecture and how he should not speak and all that. It's a very dangerous, evaluating mode is very dangerous, because we go to intellectual mode from where we lose the opportunity to take shelter. See, taking shelter, one has to be like a child. A child can take shelter of mother. When we were in America, while going in the car, we three of us had a debate. Me, Gaurang Prabhu, going through debate and talk going on. What was the topic about? In the West, the children speak like adults. and the parents speak like children. You can see that. Like we saw with our own eyes, some of the children speaking in a very adult tone, as if they are 20 years or 25 years. Very mature, they speak like that. And we found out what is the reason for such a behavior. That's because the parents actually, out of fear that the child may sue them, the parents deal with them very respectfully right from young age. They don't taunt them, they don't correct them, they don't chastise them. Teachers also don't chastise the children. They don't show the stick also. Because the children, they think very high of themselves. And children also know the laws of the state. If there are any problems, they can sue anyone, anytime. In the name of protecting the children, they have given too many rights for the children and pampering the children. And because of it, children speak like adults. And then when they speak like adults, what happens? They lose the opportunity to take shelter of parents. See, if a child is innocent and simple and, having some inability, then the parents may pick up the child, put on the lap and pamper the child and help the child. And the parents get an opportunity to show their emotion and, appreciation of child and everything. But when the child behaves like an adult, like a grown-up adult, I don't need the parents and I'm all right, everything is all right with me, then there is no possibility of parents giving shelter. Now, this principle doesn't only apply to parents and children. It applies even in spiritual life. Prabhupada is talking here about the spiritual representatives here. Imagine, for example, if a counselor and a counselee, if a counselee behaves like an adult, he's asking counselor, you need some advice from me? Do you think the counselor will be able to offer any shelter? If a younger person thinks, I am more smarter than the elder, and I know better, and the elder one is a muff, he doesn't know so much, then where is the possibility of taking shelter? Ask yourself. We cannot take shelter. There is no possibility. So for taking shelter, one has to be in a certain type of mood. So spiritual life is not just mechanically putting our body present, being present in the body of Vaishnavas. That doesn't make us advance so much. Simply being present in the body of Vaishnavas for some time and during the class time doesn't make us advance so much. We need these kind of attitudes. So, for example, when I get a disease or something, I may rush to the doctor. Doctor, my stomach is aching, it's paining severely, I don't know what's going on. Instead, my stomach is burning. And then you take shelter of a doctor, and doctor gets a stethoscope and he diagnoses your body and you offer your body, please test my body, take my body, and he's wrapping something around your hand. What do you call that? That pressure testing. He tests the pressure, he tests your breathing, isn't it? He puts you upside down this way, that way. And all the testing is done, and then he's diagnosing, and you're very eager to know what happened to me. Please tell me. Am I all right? There's nothing dangerous. Isn't it? Like you get some pain in the chest. People are afraid. Is it a heart problem or is it muscular problem? Isn't it? You go to the doctor. And then doctor tells you, don't worry, it's just muscular pain. Take some medicine, you'll be all right. Isn't it? So we take shelter and then he gives some, yellow pill, green pill, blue pill, whatever he gives, you just follow in time properly. Doctor has told me, morning, afternoon, evening. That is the meaning of taking shelter of a doctor. You don't go to a doctor and say, doctor, what all medicines you have, show me. No. I will choose whichever has got sweet taste. You can't ask him, isn't it? You take shelter. Similarly, if you go to Guru and say, okay, Guru, what all stock you have? Can you tell me some Krishna Leela? Or can you tell me some esoteric pastimes of Radharani? Then such people cannot actually take proper shelter. There are many people coming to our organization and they want to become scholarly. Actually, it's not wrong to become scholarly if one has devotion. See, the devotion and scholarship should parallelly, it's like an equilateral triangle. Bhakti, austerities, and jnana, all three should simultaneously expand. And bhakti also includes service. It is not just knowledge. Bhakti jnana. It also includes bhakti seva. So if one doesn't have impetus for service, if one doesn't have devotion, then simply increasing the knowledge can become very disastrous. One side of the triangle increases very big. Other two sides are very small. It will be like that. So that is why why a particular type of mood is expected on the part of the disciple if he has to be able to receive the message. That receptacle ability comes. That we find here, when Vidura returns back, you can see how Pandavas and others received here. You see here. With great delight, they all approached him, as if life had returned to their bodies. They exchanged obeisances and welcomed each other with embraces. So Vidura was so dear to the members of the Kaurava family that his long absence from the palace was comparable to inactivity. Actually, people felt as if life had come back to them. And due to anxieties and long separation, they all cried out of affection. King Yudhishthira then arranged to offer sitting accommodations and a reception. And after Vidura ate sumptuously and took sufficient rest, he was comfortably seated. Then the king began to speak to him, and all who were present there listened. So, you find here, after Vidura returned, actually Vidura is a sannyasi now, and why is he coming home? To deliver Dhritarashtra. So when he came, he was very warmly received, and after he bathed himself and took prasad, took some rest when he is sitting. Now everyone is coming and hearing, Yudhishthira Maharaj is leading and asking question. So, when great sannyasis come, great souls come, when they come, one should be very eager to hear, especially those who are in the leadership position. They should be very enthusiastic to ask questions and hear and be a part of the assembly. All the senior devotees should be sitting in the front and hearing. When a sannyasi comes and hears. Now, when I travel worldwide, so many people are glorifying Pune. One of the reasons they say is whenever any sannyasis and gurus, they come here, people come and sit and hear with great joy, with great attention. Actually, you cannot purchase them with money. Even if you give a big donation to them, that doesn't appeal to them so much. But what appeals to them? That if devotees are very enthusiastic to come and hear, especially the seniors. When Gaurang Prabhu had come recently in one of the camps, he was asking the names of all the senior devotees. Where is this devotee? Where is that devotee? Because they are very particular that the seniors take advantage. And they also know only when the seniors come, then the others will follow. Sometimes the seniors think we'll put all the junior guys and show a big number and then we'll do our work. You know, that doesn't work because they are intelligent. They're very intelligent. I have seen all the gurus and sannyasis, they are very, very intelligent. They will always ask, where is this devotee? Where is that devotee? Why he didn't come? They ask. So here, amongst all the Pandavas, senior most is Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he is sitting right in the front. And as if, you know, now, Vidura. Vidura is speaking to whom? He is speaking to Yudhishthira only. But he is also speaking to others. Others are allowed to benefit. But he is speaking to whom? He is speaking to him. So this is very important. This lesson everyone should learn. If somebody is going to a voice, the OC should be sitting in the front. He should not be organizing somewhere. No. The senior most devotee should be right in the front. Very eagerly, enthusiastically attending. Asking questions. Participating. Not just, you know, okay, my body is here, take it. And then doing something else. Doing some accounting or to-do list. They should be giving their attentive ear and an open heart. Both are needed. In hearing. And you find, and Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing that. Maharaj Yudhishthira said, Prabhupada is saying here, King Yudhishthira was expert in reception also, even in the case of his family members. Vidura was well received by all the family members by exchange of obeisances and embraces. After finishing his rest, he was offered a comfortable place to sit. And then the king began to talk about all happenings, both family and otherwise and everything. So Maharaj Yudhishthira asked, my uncle, do you remember how you always protected us along with our mother from all sorts of calamities? Your partiality, like the wings of a bird, saved us from poisoning and arson. While traveling on the surface of the earth, how did you maintain your livelihood? At which holy places and pilgrimage sites did you render service? See, the first question is asking is an expression of gratitude. He is telling that, you know, we suffered in many circumstances and you saved us from Vishan, Mahagane, Purusha, Darshanath. As Kunti Maharani was praying to Krishna, in the same manner, Yudhishthira Maharaj is telling to Vidura that you always were partial to us in saving us, although Dhritarashtra was making a plot to vanquish us. So they are expressing gratitude to him. And then the second verse which we read now, there he is asking about his well-being and how, whether his journey was comfortable. So it is concerning Vidura. While traveling on service of that, how did you maintain your livelihood? At which holy places and pilgrimage sites did you render service? My Lord, and then he is saying that famous verse, Bhavad Vida, Bhagavata, Tirtha Bhuta, Swayam Vibhu, and Tirtha Gurvanti Ditani. He says that whichever places you go, you make that places like holy places, simply by putting your feet. And then Prabhupada is saying here, thus Mahatma Vidura, being treated just like a godly person by his kinsmen, remained there for a certain period. Prabhupada says, a saintly person like Vidura must be treated as well as like a denizen from heaven. In those days, denizens of heavenly planets used to visit homes like that of Maharaj Yudhishthira. And sometimes persons like Arjuna and others used to visit higher planets. So Prabhupada is saying here that, you know, Vidura should be treated as if he is descending from the heaven, he is saying. So Vaishnava culture means always thinking about how to make the other person or the object of our service happy. That is Vaishnava culture. Like we get a guest, how to make him happy in all respects, physically, mentally, intellectually, emotionally, in all respects, how to make that person happy. So one who becomes a servant, the servant's mood should be that. So different people have different needs. For example, even if you give a person a nice guest house to live, you give him nice food, okay Maharaj, eat nice food, take good rest, and we'll give you good donations. There are many saintly people who will not be happy with those things. What they will say, even if life is uncomfortable, but if they are offered an opportunity for giving a lecture, where people come and inquire about Krishna, ask about Krishna, and they are enthusiastic to hear, that gives them far more satisfaction than the gulab jamuns and sandesh you may give. For them, that is gulab jamun. Because their mind is focused on Krishna. They want to share Krishna with others. If people benefit by hearing from them, then they feel joy. So, in this way, from this section of Vidura being received by the Pandavas, we understand what should be the mood in which one should receive the mercy coming from a Vaishnava. This explains. With gratitude, with appreciation, like we read before, how the Shaunakadri Rishis were appreciating Suta Goswami. From their heart, it is not superficial, it is not lip service, it is from their hearts. And then, because of such warmth and appreciation in hearing, they could benefit immensely. And then Suta Goswami also is empowered to speak very powerfully. Like Prabhupada gives example of a fertile wife and a potent husband. Then a potent husband can impregnate a fertile wife and a child will be born in her womb. Similarly, if the audience has the proper receptacle heart, with those internal qualities of submissiveness, shilata, not just sadachar externally, then the spiritual seed, as nucleus Prabhupada says, nucleus of devotion service to the Lord can be established in the hearts of the hearers. And that is how one makes progress. Like how Vidura heard from Maitreya also, very submissively. So he became completely convinced of the truth. What is the proof that one has heard attentively the messages of Lord Vasudev? The proof is one becomes enthusiastic in devotional service. One becomes engaged in a very enthusiastic way. And one's eagerness and enthusiasm to know about Krishna, speak about Krishna, to render service to Krishna becomes increased. And one's material interests gradually dry up. one's attraction for the material world gradually dries up, and one becomes completely firmly situated in transcendental absorption. So, in this verse which we read today, Shukadeva Goswami is coming and Parikshit is receiving, and at once Parikshit is presenting himself as a blind person. How can we see you? He's saying, nobody can see you because you are a transcendental personality, and we always have material vision. With our material vision, we always find faults with the superficial coverings. So how can we see your real personality, your spiritual personality? Very brilliant verse. And Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.